Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Good morning. Kind of a happy Monday. If you're looking at it from Pitt's perspective, yeah. Clap it up. Good win. If you're looking at it from the Penguins' perspective, ugh, boo. Terrible. Not a good weekend. And maybe you're looking at it from the Pirates' perspective, too, which means you might have a beer in your hand and just get your feet kicked up because spring training, hope eternal. They've got a lot of good stuff coming out of spring training. We're getting a lot of answers. I saw Jarrett Triolo was playing a shortstop. He was in yesterday's lineup, listed as a shortstop, or sometime over the weekend. I can't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, but either way, I mean, they're playing him around the infield, trying to display his versatility, which is good because spots are going to be kind of tough for that middle infield role. A lot of players vying for that. So if Triolo is not just stuck to third base or second base, he'll have a better chance of playing, I would think. So just different places to put him. I still like him as a first base option, but, you know, who knows now with Rowdy Tellez on the roster and a few candidates up there for the designated hitter position in the lineup. But we'll see. I mean, spring training is still exciting. There's still a lot to look forward to. A lot of pitching to look forward to as well. I saw Dowry Moreira. Money Moreira, he was on the mound over the weekend and looked like he got hurt, kind of landed wrong on one of his legs. And so that's something to look at. Not necessarily look forward to, but there are other pitchers who have done well. Paul Skeens did well toward the end of last week when he started. It was on Thursday he started and did well. A lot of pitchers to look forward to. So a lot of things to look forward to with the Pirates this coming season. So just want to get that out of the way now. Nothing too new to report right now. They're still going through. Donnie Football, you heard at the end of last week. If you listen to the PM team, he's down there with his girlfriend in Florida in spring training, which is a lot of where you guys encouraged me to go. I'm still on the fence about going. I don't know when I'm going to be able to take off. I definitely want to go, and if I had infinite time to go, I would. I appreciate all your recommendations for that as well. But Donnie doing what I've been encouraged to do, and I'm a little jealous, but also good for him being down there. So we'll see. Nothing major to report out of the Pirates right now, except that Henry Davis is lighting it up as well. I actually didn't want to bring that up. It'll be interesting that if he continues to do well through spring training and then starts the year in the minors, I'm sure there will be a small uproar. I still wouldn't quite understand it myself, but, the team's going to do what they're going to do, and we move forward accordingly. But right now, Henry Davis is playing like he wants a roster spot. And I still think, and I'm sure many of you do out there as well, that he would be a needed addition to the lineup where he could contribute, at least offensively for sure. It's you know, that's why you want him up there. I mean, he's hitting home runs and driving runs in so far in the games he's been in the lineup. So it's good to see what he's been doing. Yeah, and I hope he gets in there. I hope he makes that opening day roster. I'm hopeful, crossing my fingers, that he continues to do well because I want to see him on the Major League roster to start the year. Let's go to Pittman's basketball a little bit. I'm going from, you know, optimistic and fun and good to pessimistic. So I'm not pessimistic on Pitt because they're doing poorly down this stretch. Making the tournament, though, is seemingly going to require them to win the ACC tournament. So there's a little more pessimism in there. Like they've really got a gauntlet here down the stretch. But they started the right way. They beat Boston College on Saturday. So that's good, and they dropped 90, which is really good. So a reassuring win there for Pitt. Pitt's now sixth. Clemson and Pitt both have 10-8 records. And it's kind of frustrating, though, when you think about the Clemson game. Like, it was winnable. They just had Hinson locked down in that game, and without Hinson scoring, Clemson stuck away 69-62. I mean, think about how the standings change if that one win occurs. Pitt's then 11-7, and Clemson's 9-9, and Pitt's securely in fifth. closer to Wake Forest. Clemson's actually down in the standings. So I hate going backwards. And I know Jeff Capel's made some comments toward the end of last week that Crowley talked about, which I agree with Crowley on. You want to change the format a little bit as a coach, I guess, if you know, and have your team be given more credit, and I understand that. But also, I mean, as a coach, you've got to control what you can control. I think, you know, complaining about stuff or critiquing certain things can be done behind the scenes. You know, getting public interest in it is a strategy here, but also it's like, you know, control what you can control in that regard, which is, you know, beat Clemson in that game and things get a little bit better. I mean, I don't fault them for losing to Wake Forest. Wake Forest has been really good at home, and they're having a really good season. They've beaten almost every other team. They lost to Miami at the end of January, and they had that rough stretch to start January, but they also accumulated wins. They had a 5-game winning streak. And so a team like Clemson is a team that you want to be able to beat, especially, you know, a score that close. That's just something you can control. I think they beat Clemson, and they get a higher seed in here. They've got a better chance of making it through the ACC tournament. But losing to Clemson puts them in just a worse position going into the ACC tournament, you know, when they qualify here. So, but it depends. I mean, they still got 2 more games to go, but I'm with Crowley on that whole discussion. You got to, you must control what you can control. And if he would have mentioned this before, they would have played Clemson or lost any of those important games. Maybe more understandable, but like to lose and then be like, ah, the system's tough. I'm never a huge fan of that when that happens. But, I mean, look forward to these final 2 games, and they're both home games. Pitt's going to end the season against NC State on Saturday. They also have a game tomorrow night at 9 o'clock against Florida State. So it's going to be – it'll be good. It'll be a good hopefully here a good end of the season, but to have 2 home games to end the season is also kind of fun. So go out and support Pitt, and we'll see where they finish in the ACC standings and how they do when the ACC tournament comes around and gets seeded and shaped up. So, yeah, there's that. And now to the final point. I will talk about the Steelers a little bit later on because Justin Fields' news continues to swirl, and I'll give my opinion on the news itself a little bit later on. Maybe you aren't going to like that, but enough of you do to talk about it. So, yeah, we'll touch on that a little bit if we have time. Or you can call in and talk about something else, 412-928-9370. I kind of steer the conversation toward the fans on these warnings because I'm trying to ease you into Crowley and Doran for the pre-show at 540, and then they talk about what they want to talk about for 4 hours. I only have about a half hour, so if you want to talk about something specific, if you want my opinion on something, if you want to voice your opinion that you don't think is heard very much, you're welcome to right now, 412-928-9370. Give me a call. You can also talk to me on X at @Callas_33. That's @Callas_33. And if you have a written comment, a typed out comment you want to send my way, you're welcome to do that. Again, on Twitter, @Callas_33, @Callas_33. And the number one more time, 412-928-9370. So if you want to talk about anything in particular, you're welcome to. And perhaps you've got an opinion on this next subject before I may decide to touch on the Steelers a little bit, which is the Pittsburgh Penguins. So we're going from optimism to pessimism, and here we are now in the most amount of pessimism. The Pittsburgh Penguins, who, okay, last Tuesday, February 27th, right, so last week, about 6 days ago, the Penguins beat the Canucks, and before that, they beat the Flyers. And before that, they beat the Canadiens. So they had a 3-game winning streak after losing a tough one in overtime to the Islanders. 3-game winning streak, feeling more optimistic. Mike Sullivan talking about, yep, we're turning it around. We got this. Kyle Dubas being vulnerable, making his comments, speaking about the team and the state of it. And then they go into this week, Thursday, 2-0 loss to the Seattle Kraken. To get shut out in these times after scoring, they scored 7 against the Flyers, 4 against the Canucks. they don't score at all against the Seattle Kraken. That's it would have been more excusable had they scored at least one. They scored zero. So, blah on that one. Then on Saturday, this past Saturday, they had a 3-1 lead against the Calgary Flames. And they lost 4-3. They had a 3-1 lead in the third period. And they lost 4-3. And then the Edmonton Oilers. This is a game that I understand that you lose. The Oilers are younger. They are faster. They are one of the premier teams in the league. Penguins lost 6-1. That I get. That is the only one that makes sense here. Is that loss to the Oilers. But it's less excusable because the Penguins lost two games that they had control of. Two games that they were winnable. Now, they didn't score against the Kraken. That's not excusable. But they had a 3-1 lead against the Calgary Flames in the third period and blew it. So, as I start to rant here, yeah, that's not excusable. That's not cool. That's not good. And that's just the type of loss, especially the game against the Flames. That's the type of loss that's going to hold them back. Not being able to manage a lead is evident. And who do you put that more on? I'll leave that question to you. Who do you put that more on? Do you put more of a blame on the coaches for not being able to manage the lead, or the players, or somebody else, or management, perhaps Kyle Dubas? Who do you blame for that? 412-928-9370. We got a caller now on the line that wants to talk, so I'll let them talk. Good morning. What's your name?
Hey, this is Ted.
Hello, Ted.
Hey, what's going on? Real quick, when it comes to the Calgary Flames and the Penguins, that's Mike Sullivan. He, to me, should be fired flat out. You cannot have Malkin not on a power play. That's ridiculous. Mm. They'll figure out whatever. He's one of your best players, and you don't have him on the power play because you're stubborn. Yeah, that's a fireball offense right there. And the team, you can tell, they're so afraid to make mistakes, they're not playing their game. They're just, you know, I don't know what's going on in our locker room. Maybe, you know, to me, I think you need a new coach because apparently I think they're shutting Mike Sullivan out. And also, the trade deadline is coming up. My question is, who do you get rid of? And also, what is the future of the Penguins?
Yeah, Ted, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. The trade deadline is going to be very interesting this year. Can they trade Jake Guentzel and get a healthy return for him? How much can they break the team down? Like, what assets can they trade to get, like, future stock? It's a good question. And I'm on board with the Mike Sullivan firing. I kind of feel sad to think this is a Pittsburgh fan because we've been trying to fire Tomlin, you know, all season, and then the Penguins had a little more hope coming into this season, and now we want to fire Mike Sullivan, which is fair. I mean, to want to fire Mike Sullivan, I understand the urge. And especially for the average length of an NHL coach, the average time that one coach is with one team, it just feels like the right time to get him out of there. He's not resonating with me anymore as a fan. Not that he's a bad guy. I always like to make that disclaimer when we talk about this. Like, not that he's a bad guy and not that he's not trying. I won't accuse him of not trying, but, like, it just seems like whatever's going on and is not effective anymore for Mike Sullivan. Like what he's doing is not effective. It's kind of the same argument that you make with the Steelers. Like, well, the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, you know, it's just been a long time and there's nothing fresh. There's not a fresh feel about it. Like, when you get a new coach, at least there's some intrigue there. I think that's why Arthur Smith is so intriguing, because it's a name that many of us didn't expect, but, like, okay, he's new, and he's had success in the past. So, like, yeah, this is exciting to see. There's something new here, and there's hope because there's evidence of change. If that happened with Mike Tomlin, I think we'd all have our own curiosities. Mike Sullivan the same way for the Penguins. Mike Sullivan is kind of the same feel. Like, what else could we have if we don't have Sullivan? Like, what would that look like? And I think that that curiosity is starting to weigh on us. Like this curiosity is coming up, but especially with the Penguins, who, at least the Steelers, they were winning games when we were chanting fire Tomlin, and at least the Steelers made the playoffs. Penguins are now nowhere near that playoff push, and the season is in March now. Like, the season is coming to a close here. Like, it's coming to an end here in the next month and a half. So they don't have time really to lose games like the game against the Flames. They can't be getting shut out. They can't lose against the Flames. And then after they lose a winnable game to the Flames, they can't lose to the Oilers because they can't afford to. Like, they can't afford to give up these losses. So as Ted's talking about here, like, you know, I think it's time for Sullivan to get fired. Absolutely. I agree with that statement. I can align to that vision that it's time to get something fresh in here and perhaps break it down. Take a moment, trade some assets, break it down, get some prospects, and see what you can do from there. Find a new head coach that can manage all this stuff in this new era. So, I mean, yeah, I can align to that. So, Ted, thank you for the call again. But I can align to that vision. It's something to consider, a fresh outlook on the Penguins, which is get rid of the head coach, trade some of the stars, if you can, to bring back some good prospects, some good assets. And we'll see we'll have some hope seeing some new faces, new names as a part of the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think we're just holding on too long, too, to the superstars that we had in the past, and we don't have that anymore because, I mean, they're not young anymore. I do think, too, and we can talk about this a little bit later as well, but Sidney Crosby, I think that it's important to appreciate what he's doing as well because despite what the team is doing, I mean, he's really still carrying his portion of the responsibility with the Penguins, and he's somebody that I think in all this frustration that we have, we shouldn't forget about. And we should still appreciate because he is, like, still a fantastic player. He's still playing phenomenally. And, yeah, don't forget. And all of this, don't forget about Sidney Crosby. I implore you about that as we talk about who to fire and who to trade. Crosby, somebody you should definitely keep around as a cornerstone because he's still playing very well. Everybody else is on the table to me. And Mike Sullivan's head could be put on the chopping block. It's all right. It's time. It's okay for change. It's going to be time to move on. And so I support that. I mean, especially, like, who do you blame though? I mean, who else is there to blame really in this case of the Flames loss than the coaching staff? Like, how do you best manage a 3-1 lead? Do you put that more on the players? I don't personally. Who do you put that on? Who do you put that on? Whose responsibility is that to manage that lead? I mean, the players individually can put in their efforts, but ultimately you got to have a coaching strategy that can allow you to hold a 2-point lead in the final period of regulation. It just seems like that's got to be routine at that point. Like, teams that deserve to be in the playoffs do not lose games like that on a regular basis. And the Penguins have had several blown leads this season, have several overtime losses this season, and they continue to struggle and be toward the bottom of the division. So, I have ranted long enough about the Penguins. You're welcome to join the conversation, talk anything Pittsburgh sports, Pirates, Steelers, Penguins, Pittman's basketball. Pitt won over the weekend. Don't forget about that. And the Pirates are still going through spring training. So we can talk about any of it. 412-928-9370. Just doesn't have to be about me. rant about the Penguins necessarily, but it is frustrating and it is worth talking about. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll come right back. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is The Fan Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Told you I'd be right back, and I am. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's The Fan Early Morning Show where the average Joe can listen. The show for the average Joe, and when the average Joe wants to buy like a pro, the average Joe can go to CGR Wholesale. Sponsor of the Fan Morning Show. Fan Early Morning Show, I should say. Sorry. Fan Weather also brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. Save some green in March at sunchevy.com. Today, Doran said it's going to be a high of 75. I haven't looked at the temperatures yet. In Pittsburgh, throughout the area, high of 72, low of 44. Clear skies. And Doran's got a surprise for you over there. He's wearing no sleeves today. So if you look on the video stream at 93.7thefan.com. Whenever the Fan Morning Show begins, you'll see him without sleeves on. Growly's still in a hoodie for whatever reason. But it is going to be warm today and tomorrow. Temperatures are going to drop later in the week, but these next 2 days expect highs in the 70s. It's supposed to be warm. Fan Weather. That's Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. Again, this is the Fan Early Morning Show. Ranting mostly about the Penguins. This morning, Pittman's basketball still got some hope. They won against Boston College in their final road game of the regular season on Saturday, so they've got two more home games to round out the season. So we, you know, support them as they go into the ACC tournament, because if they win the ACC tournament, they can make the national tournament. So we're hoping for the best for them. But enjoy the final two games at the Peterson Event Center this week when the Pitt men's basketball team plays. Also ranting about the Penguins because they stink, so it seems, and they're going to continue to do that, and they're really not likely to make the playoffs this year, especially when the team comes out and says, yeah, we're gonna buckle down, and then they lose in a game where they had a 3-1 lead in the third period. So, a lot of stuff going on with the Penguins. Pirates again in spring training, they're still looking all right. We're seeing a lot of things. Saw Jared Triolo play shortstop in a game over the weekend. I think that's interesting. They're trying to demonstrate his versatility. Henry Davis is still really good, although he's not guaranteed to make the major league roster. That's been established, but I mean, he's driving in runs. He's hit a few home runs so far, so it's good to see him be a strong bat, give them some hope as they come into this next season where they've got a lot of young, fresh faces who can play. So we'll see. Talk about the Steelers a little bit as well, because we're getting some notice here that apparently the Steelers are now back in. They have had conversations with Justin Fields. So whether the Steelers are messing with us or whether these reports are somehow legitimate, I'm not sure. I also know that, I mean, we're pretty aware out there that some of you don't like all of this Steeler talk and this Justin Fields talk. But then again, a lot of people interact with us when we talk about the Steelers quarterback situation. So we like that interaction. We like to have that conversation. And it seems enough people care to voice their opinions on the conversation. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit as well. I personally like Justin Fields. I've said that before. Kenny Pickett is not there enough for me to want to have faith just in him, and I want a serious quarterback situation. I want an actual battle. I want them to go through tough tests, and I want the Steelers coaches or, you know, whoever else is involved in making that decision. I want them to make a decision where, like, okay, like the legit best person coming out of camp, and maybe some of the spring game, or not the spring games, the preseason games as well, can go in there and start this regular season and play the best. Now, it seems like the Steelers have always kind of leaned toward Kenny Pickett, and the Steelers have seemed to really lean away from Mason Rudolph when he was on the roster. So that just, to me, it seems like for what Kenny Pickett's output has been so far, I think they've put a little bit too much faith in him. And the fact that Mason Rudolph came in and lit it up, I think was an incredibly exciting story, but also kind of proved that maybe Kenny Pickett doesn't have it. So there are reports that it's like going back and forth versus the Steelers were the odds-on favorite to get Fields, and they weren't. And then more reports are saying that the Steelers are reaching out to see about a Justin Fields trade, and then, you know, then they're not. And now they're back on. Now apparently there are reports out there that the Steelers are indeed reaching out. And it's just going back and forth. It's that part of it I understand is frustrating and is a little bit silly, you know, to go back and forth on it. And we're just trying to, you know, talk about what is reported on out there. But, yeah, I mean, I've been a Justin Fields supporter to coming to the Steelers from the beginning. I think he would bring a nice young change of pace to what the quarterback situation has been. It's always been Ben, and then Mitch Trubisky was brought in to try to make something happen while Kenny Pickett was drafted and was developing, and then Mitch Trubisky wasn't working out, so they brought Pickett in, and Pickett barely worked, and then he got hurt. They bring in Mitch, and he continued to do poorly, so they bring in Rudolph, and then Rudolph all of a sudden does well. And I think that if a guy like Rudolph can succeed in the makeshift offense that the Steelers had post-Matt Canada, I think Justin Fields would be among those best fit to serve the Steelers, especially now under an offensive coordinator and Arthur Smith, who could use a lot of the assets that Justin Fields brings. So sure, many other of the shows on the station will touch upon that later, but I just wanted to give my 2 cents while I had a few more minutes to talk about it. So that's what I did.